Welcome to Restoration. This podcast features Vicki Dimmitt speaking on the third beatitude, Blessed are the meek.
There's a famous atheist. His name is Friedrich Nietzsche. Okay, I'm not pronouncing that right. He coined the phrase, God is dead. He also said, assert yourself. Care for nothing except yourself. The only vice is weakness, and the only virtue is strength. Be strong. Be a Superman. The world is yours if you work hard enough for it. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, one set of words is from an atheist. The other is from Christ. But how often do Christians live as though the only virtue there is strength? Jesus never talked about strength very much, but he often talked about meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So I'm going to share tonight with you my experience and my understanding of meekness. So what is meekness? In the dictionary, Webster's, it's defined as lowly, gentle, mild-tempered, submissive, compliant. But what I've learned a long time ago from Pastor Carey, and lots of pastors use this, that meekness is considered strength under control. And that's the definition I really try and live by for meekness, is strength under control. Well, we will become blessed when we become meek. That's not easy to do. And a few ways that you can practice meekness, one way is to begin to let go. Begin to let go of one area in your life that may be controlling you or that you may be controlling. I can guarantee that every one of us in this room has either mildly or desperately tried to control something or someone in their life. God's desire for us is to fully commit and surrender our will and our lives over to the care of Christ, to consciously choose to surrender. And that's not easy to do. In Celebrate Recovery, it's considered step 3. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Those first 4 words have such significance. We made a decision. It's not asking you to jump in completely at one time. That's a little overwhelming for some of you, although some of you needed to be jumping. Some of you need to be jumping big time. But it's make a decision. We made a decision. It allows you to come to terms with what's going on. It allows you to come to terms with God and with yourself, with the areas in your life that you're controlling, if you're willing to get honest enough to allow it to happen. But surrender's not easy, and it actually takes a whole lot of strength to surrender. Because surrender is not a matter of waving the white flag and going, I give up, I'm so tired, I can't do this anymore, and I give up, I'm not going to try, I can't do it. And flop down on a couch and not do anything. Strength, that kind of strength and meekness, it requires action. It requires us to do something. It actually requires you to get off the couch and do something. Action. I like the word A-C-T-I-O-N. Any change to improve our nature. You cannot be improving your nature if you're laying down on the couch whining and complaining. How many whiners and complainers do we have out there? Oh, you guys raised your hand. Love it. Love it. Confession. Oh, I'm so proud of you. You're healed. You may go home. Well, I believe that there are 3 types of people. Now, there's probably a whole lot more types of people, but I'm going to categorize them tonight so that you understand how I understand this and work through this. I believe that there's a set of normal people, whatever normal is. But there's a set of normal people. Then there's this set of beaten down people. I'm going to pick on you guys over here. Beaten down. Beaten down by words, either by others or either by yourself. Self-condemnation. We can beat ourselves to a pulp. Maybe you're beaten down physically by others, or there's a lot of ways you can physically abuse your body. Maybe you've been sexually abused. And it's either, it could have been by others, or maybe you've acted out in impure ways and in sexual ways that have been destructive for yourself. Either way, that's a type of people beaten down. Then you got your puffed ups. Make you feel better? You got your puffed ups over here. Your puffed up people come in with egos and pride and arrogance. Probably educated. Maybe you can even recite the entire book of Matthew. We know a little bit about life and we've experienced it. Maybe we've been a Christian for a whole lot of years. Maybe we even come in here because we're self-sufficient and self-reliant, and I'm just making sure she shows up. That's all the reason I'm here. We're making sure he shows up. That self-sufficiency and self-reliant, not need for anything in their own lives to be fixed. Very controlling. Very controlling people. And we like to play God. Well, what I believe is God desires to either raise us or lower us so that he can do a work in us. See, these normal people over here, the normies, they're doing a work. It's not necessarily that they're laying on the couch, white flag, they've surrendered. They're doing a work. They doing it perfectly? Uh-uh. But they're doing a work and they're taking some action. John 3:30 says, he must become greater and I must become less. God has to become bigger than any problem you're facing right now. He has to be bigger than any situation, any person in your life, any problem. He has to be bigger. If you allow whatever is going on in your life to be bigger than God, you're going to suffer. And that's what brought me in these rooms. I allowed my problems to be so much bigger than God. I had a very small God, if any God at all, in my life when I came in here. Sin prevents us from becoming meek. It's our roadblock. And I've identified a few areas in my life that prevent me from experiencing meekness. It's pride, guilt, fear, worry, doubt, and concern. If I'm experiencing any one of those areas, typically I'm trying to control. If I'm being prideful, I'm sure trying to control. There's been a lot of times in my life where I've been arrogant. Hard to believe last week, but yes. And God has had to lower me. Guilt, fear, worry. If I am experiencing any of those, then I am going to struggle to practice meekness. It's going to be real difficult. When I'm also experiencing those areas of my life, I'm trying to control. If I'm in fear, oh, you can bet control's in my life big time. If I'm doubting my faith in God, or if I'm just doubting anybody in my life, I can guarantee you I'm in control and I'm trying to manage and run the show. Well, I'm going to share with you tonight a story. You scared? Bat in my hand? I've shared this 3 or 4 times here. But this is my experience with meekness. This is my experience with strength under control and how I understand it. And so I'm going to share this story with you. My husband and I have been married 24 years. 10 years into our marriage, we separate. But let me back up just a bit. At 9 years, we became Christians. He was a Christian in high school. And he went to Oral Roberts University in Tulsa. And he was driving home to San Diego during spring break with his roommate. He fell asleep at the wheel, rolled the car, and it killed the roommate. And he walked away from the Lord. I never knew that story until we got into counseling 10 years into our marriage. So that's kind of pain he was carrying around. Me, I was raised in a wicked environment, in an abusive home, and I grew up to be wicked and abusive. And I abused myself and I abused others. So 9 years ago, 9 years into the marriage, we become Christians. 10 years into the marriage, we separate. What's up with that? We got God in our lives. We're really trying to make steps. I even had a year sobriety and we separated. It was too much. And what I experienced during that time was a lot of control, a lot of control. So what happened is 14 years ago, my husband, at the suggestion of Pastor Randy Reeves, went and saw a counselor. He saw Dr. Looney 14 years ago. And Dr. Looney had a ponytail. You'd just die if you saw it. And 14 years ago, I saw another counselor. And then we began working on our marriage. And we came together and began working on the marriage. We had to completely redefine our marriage, the roles, responsibilities in our marriage. So we'd been working together. He'd moved back in the house, and we're beginning to pray together. We're beginning to introduce God into our marriage, which was very foreign. The first 10 years did not exist. And I walk in with my husband, and we're actually sitting next to each other instead of on the opposite sides of the room. And I walk in, and he sits down, and he hands me a bat. He says, "I want you to hold this." Okay. And he starts going through scenarios of what our marriage has been like, what we've accomplished, what our goals were when we came in. What are the things that I wanted to change about my husband? And what are the things he wanted to change about me? We started rehashing, just kind of recapping the year that we had in counseling. And he says to me, and as I start to lower the bat, "Keep it up. I want you to keep holding it." And he goes, "See, this bat represents all of your control, everything you've been holding on to, everything that you have been so desperately trying to make right in your life, and it's just not working." So I'm holding on to this bat, and he says, "Your husband's ready to step up to the plate, and he's ready to take over and be the spiritual leader in your family. Are you ready to let go of that bat?" My grip got tighter. I didn't want to let go. My husband looks at me and says, "I am ready to be the spiritual leader in this family. Will you please give me that bat?" My bat. I don't share. I'm holding this bat, and my grip was getting tighter. And the complete realization came to my life that I had made a vow in my life as a teenager. I watched my dad abuse my mom, and I watched her become a doormat. And I made an inner vow in my life that I will never, ever allow a man to control me. And I will never, ever be weak like my mother. And that inner vow poisoned my marriage. It poisoned me and the relationships I had. That inner vow had to come out and be smashed at the foot of the cross in order for me to be free. I'm sitting there holding this bat, and I'm hearing in my gut, "Let go, let go, just let go." But I'm still trying to hold on. We were the last appointment, so he said we had all the time in the world. And I'm holding it back. And finally, I just keep hearing it. It's like the voice is getting louder. "Let go. Just let go." And the pain in my arms and the pain in my heart about what I had been doing in my marriage for 10 years became greater than all my fears. It became greater than any concern I had or any worry or any doubt or any prideful area. And I handed the bat to my husband. And I let go. And I told him, don't you dare drop it. When I let go, it was difficult. It took a lot of strength to let go. It was strength under control. But do you think it was my strength? Do you think I had anything to do with that? Now, God had been doing a work in me. He had been doing a work in me. See, I had been beaten down so badly that I skipped over the normies and went straight to puffed up and joined the puffy side. I had operated so much of my life on external strength, and God was asking me to surrender to a holy internal strength. It wasn't easy. It was not easy. Meekness and control cannot coexist together. They absolutely cannot coexist. There's an area in your life that you're trying to control. Meekness cannot exist. When I let go of that bat, I was willing to surrender, to submit, to comply, to be gentle. I was not gentle in my marriage, not gentle at all. And I was ready to let him come under his authority when I let go. And I feel, for me, that was an example of meekness, strength under God's control, not mine. In that office before we left, he taught me, my counselor taught me three things, three principles that I still use today. The first one is accept God's word as my standard. Today, I accept God's word as my standard. If I need a standard for living, I'll read the book of Ephesians. It tells me exactly how to live a Christian life, how to be a wife, how to arm myself. Book of James has scriptures in there about husband and wives. 1 Peter does. And James also talks about taming the tongue. Colossians talks about living in the Holy Spirit. I accept God's word as my standard. The second thing I do is I accept God's will as my purpose. God's will for me is my purpose. And he set a purpose before me. And right now, my purpose, as broken as I was coming in here, is to be before you, to share my dirt, and to let you know I was in just as much pain as some of you have walked in here, and that there's healing on the other side. And it's not always pretty. It's not pretty. But it is doable and it is obtainable. And we offer things here to help you go through that. We offer 12-step studies. The third thing I did was I accepted God's power as my strength. I no longer desire to operate on an external strength, but I still do. I don't like it, but I still do. But see, I think that's what I'm talking about, part of the normies. It's not that they're normal, that even exists, I doubt it, but that they're working on something. I mean, God's always doing the work. Because again, I'm going to say it again, if you're so beaten down and you're so puffed up, God has to raise you or lower you so he can do a work in you. And so that we can all meet in the middle and be a normie, or as normal as we can. By doing those three things, I've surrendered my way of living and accepted his way. What meekness does in our lives is it actually encourages us to get help. It encourages us to seek counsel. It encourages us to strive for self-improvement, to confess personal error, and to be transparent and real with others. The Christian life is not a matter of me holding on so tight and gritting my teeth and somehow living for him. The Christian life is a matter of me letting go and allowing God to live through me. That was loud. When we submit and allow God to live through us, we are practicing meekness. Psalm 37:11 tells us, "The meek will inherit the earth and enjoy great peace." Now, when I pick up that bat from time to time, and I still do, and it tries to, and I try and play God and control my life through pride, worry, concern, any of those different areas, my first indicator is a lack of peace. If I have a lack of peace in my life, I can guarantee you I have picked up that bat and have tried to control some area in my life. So, what are you holding on to? What's your bat? Name your bat. Identify your bat. And then let it go. We do that here in small groups, in support groups, with sponsors, accountability partners, with another pastor, sharing the things that have been gripping us so tightly and that we have gripped back so tightly. It is doable. It's not easy, but it is doable. It's obtainable and it's available because God made himself available to us. That's good news for a lot of heavy stuff. That's really great news. Let me see you smile. It's great news. God has a plan for healing and a plan for restoration in our lives. When I'm convicted of my sins, he did it so that not to condemn me, but to deliver me. Conviction doesn't mean condemnation. Conviction is actually a sign that God wants to deliver me through something. So I encourage you to practice meekness in some form. Remember, it's gentle, mild-tempered, submissive, compliant. It is strength under control. Let's pray. Father God, give us the strength to try and practice meekness. But Lord, it's got to be an internal holy strength. It cannot be from us. And Lord, we know that. And Lord, we confess that we have been operating on external strength and trying to run our lives our own way. And we have not submitted to authority. We have not submitted or surrendered to your way of life. Help convict us so that you can deliver us. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.